Welcome to episode 451 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The book of Acts is chock full of people, events, and even expressions that are unique to that book. We explore 10 notes from Acts that give us insight into some of these things. 1. Cloven tongues. As the Holy Spirit filled 120 disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the King James Version of Acts 2 verse 3 says that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Other translations refer to divided tongues as a fire, or tongues as a fire distributing themselves. The word cloven means divided or separated. The picture is of something like a large fire appearing in the room, then dividing into tongues that rested momentarily upon each person in the room. The dividing of the fire into small tongue-shaped flames signifies several things. John the Baptist's prophecy of Jesus baptizing people with the Holy Spirit and fire was possibly being fulfilled. There is one Spirit who gives many gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12. There was a great variety of languages that the disciples were being enabled to speak. Acts talks about speaking in tongues, and the disciples were being granted fiery eloquence to preach the gospel to all nations. 2. The Apostle Peter as a witness. The story of the conversion of Cornelius in Acts 10 is important because it was in Cornelius' household that God publicly opened the doors of the church to the Gentile world. The Apostle Peter was present to see it happen, just as he had been a witness to the opening of the doors to the Samaritans in Acts 8 and to the Jews in Acts 2. 3. The second and third missionary journeys. On his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul traveled through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian Antioch again on his way to Troas. These were cities that he had visited in his first journey. He visited the cities again on his third missionary journey on his way to Ephesus. Sometime between Paul's first and second missionary journeys, and after the Jerusalem Council, he wrote the Epistle of Galatians to these cities of southern Galatia. 4. Hellenistic Jews. The Hellenistic Jews are first mentioned in the Bible in Acts 6 verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The believing Jews are here divided into two groups. There were those who had remained in Judea, near Jerusalem, who used the Hebrew language and who were appropriately called Hebrews. The other group consisted of those who were scattered among the Gentiles, who spoke the Greek language and who used the Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. These were called Hellenist, from a word meaning Greek or Greek-speaking. To Hellenize is to adopt Greek culture and ideas. 5. Kick against the pricks. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks was a Greek proverb, but it was also familiar to the Jews and anyone who made a living in agriculture. An ox goad was a stick with a pointed piece of iron on its tip used to prod the oxen when plowing. The farmer would prick the animal to steer it in the right direction. Sometimes the animal would rebel by kicking out at the prick, and this would result in the prick being driven even further into its flesh. In essence, the more an ox rebelled, the more it suffered. Thus Jesus' words to Saul on the road to Damascus, "It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." Of the better-known Bible translations, the actual phrase, "kick against the pricks," is found only in the King James Version. It is mentioned only twice, in Acts 9 verse 5 and Acts 26 verse 14. The Apostle Paul, then known as Saul, was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians when he had a blinding encounter with Jesus. Luke records the event this way in Acts 26 verse 14, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Modern translations have changed the word pricks to goads. all translations except for the King James and the New King James Version omit the phrase altogether from Acts 9 verse 5. 6. Paul, a Roman citizen. Paul was a Roman citizen by birth, and Tarsus, where Paul was born, was a free city. The Emperor Pompey made Cilicia a Roman province in 64 BC, and its capital, Tarsus, was a free city from the time of Augustus. Although it is unknown exactly how his parents became citizens of Rome, Paul was a Roman citizen by birth, which is a privilege many did not have. Some could buy Roman citizenship, but it was pricey. The privileges of citizenship explain how Paul escaped flogging in Acts 22 verses 25 to 27 and was able to appeal for a hearing before Emperor Nero in Acts 25 verses 10 to 11. 7. Paul in Spain. There is a tradition that Paul went to Spain, but there is no record of this in the Bible. He did mention to the Romans that he wanted to take the gospel to Spain. Clement of Rome's AD 95 writings say Paul went to the farthest limits of the West, which could mean Spain, or possibly the United Kingdom. And there is some document called the Moratorian Canon, which says that Paul went from Rome to Spain, and that was written in about AD 180. It is believed that Paul's second arrest brought his fourth missionary journey to an end. He was sent to Mamertine prison, which was much rougher than being kept in house arrest in his own lodgings. During his second Roman imprisonment, Paul knew the time of his departure from the world was near. He was cared for by Luke and Onesiphorus, but abandoned by many others. Nero was on a rampage against Christians in Rome, and if the tradition is true, Paul was beheaded at Nero's order. 8. The Areopagus. Northwest of the city of Athens, Greece, is a small hill covered in stone seats. This area was once used as a forum for the rulers of Athens to hold trials, debate, and discuss important matters. The location was called Areopagus, a combination of the Greek words for god of war and stone. The Areopagus is literally Ares Rock. The equivalent to Ares in Roman mythology is Mars. By the time of Paul and the early Christian church, this location was under Roman control, so the spot was known as Mars Hill. 9. Which Gaius? Paul baptized a man named Gaius in Corinth, one of only two to be baptized there by him. Later, toward the end of his third missionary journey, when Paul wrote his epistle to the Romans, he was staying in Gaius's home, and Gaius included his greetings to the church in Rome. This Gaius is to be distinguished from Gaius of Macedonia, Gaius of Derbe, and Gaius the friend of the Apostle John. 10. The Synagogue of Freedmen. The Synagogue of the Freedmen is mentioned only once in the Bible, Acts 6 verses 8 to 9. Opposition arose, however, from members of the Synagogue of the Freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. The Synagogue of the Freedmen is also called the Synagogue of the Libertines in the King James Version. The word libertine is from the Latin and originally referred to a man who had been a slave, but who had been set at liberty. Some scholars believe that these persons were slaves of the Romans who had been freed, became proselytes of the Jewish religion, and had a synagogue in Jerusalem. The New Living Translation calls this group the Synagogue of Freed Slaves. Father, thank you for the power of the gospel as it spread throughout the world and transformed lives. Open our hearts to be so transformed today. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.